Something I want to bring out this morning, I feel it needs to be done. I don't know what kind of Bibles you have before you, but I pray that it's the King James and not one of the new versions.
Amen.
These new versions, I believe, are misleading. They leave out Scripture. And it still tells us in Timothy that all Scripture is given by inspiration. If all Scripture is given by inspiration, well, they're taken away from the Word of God.
Amen.
I've got one Scripture in John 17:17. If you listen to the radio, you hear this quite often. It says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. Set them apart. We do this through truth. So to do this, we need the whole truth. I titled this the Modern Versions of God's Holy Word. I titled this Modern Versions because the modern versions of God's Holy Word have misrepresented and left out Scripture that I believe is important in helping us to understand some of the truths of God's Holy Word. And mind you, there is no understanding of God's Word except the Holy Spirit give us understanding. As we study, I believe that's why Sunday school is important, because we come in here at Sunday school and we sit and we study God's Holy Word. Satan has been attacked in God's Word from the time of Adam and Eve until now, into the future, as long as God permits time to go on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17, it tells us, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we Christ. Now, I may not understand this right, but if I understand this right, Paul is telling the Corinthians that there are not as many preaching the truth or teaching the truth as there are false teachers leading people away, teaching lies. As God's children, do we want the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? No, when you go into the court of law, and I don't know whether they still hold or put their hand on the Bible or not, but they want the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. I believe as God's elect, we should want the truth, nothing but the truth, all the truth. But all men don't want the truth, so all men have not faith.
Amen.
In John 8:31-32 said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's the truth that sets us free. So my question is, why does one need a Bible that's left out some of God's holy word? Or misrepresented it. But I don't believe we need it. I believe we need to stay away from it. If you haven't figured out what I'm talking about, it's these new versions, the New International Version, the New Century Version, the New Living Translation, and the New Revised Standard Version. You see, you put these Bibles in a sack and shake them up, and there's no difference in them, really. They all come out the same. These new versions, to me, they're kind of like an apple pie. It's apples been left out of. What have you got left? You ain't got nothing but crust. I had an apple pie. Apple pie is the main ingredient. Apple pie is what I want to taste, apples. See, I don't like just the crust. In Acts 8, We have an account of an Ethiopian eunuch sitting in his chariot reading the prophet Isaiah. As Philip approached the eunuch, the very first thing Philip said was, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" I'd like to ask those reading the modern version, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" So this is one of the selling points of these new versions. Well, they're easier to understand. I don't believe they're no more easier to understand than the King James Version. But the modern versions, they are no more than a perversion and distortion of the Word of God, undermining basic Bible doctrines such as the deity of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth, blood redemption, even the impeccability of God Himself. Jesus was God in the flesh. He was not another God, as some teach and some want to believe. He was God, the Lord of glory. He was born of a virgin. We're redeemed by His blood. And God cannot sin. Thus, suspect that the willful intentions of those that publish these versions of Scripture are to undermine these doctrines taught in God's Word. The majority of those using these versions, I hope so, doing so in efforts. We live in a time that it seems non-denominational churches are the going thing. I don't understand what they teach. I don't understand how you can have church and not get up and preach and teach something, not have some kind of doctrine, some kind of beliefs. Are there no doctrines taught in these churches? Does anything and everything go? I don't know. But we wonder why our nation is in the shape it's in. See, our beliefs is part of the foundation we stand upon, the doctrines we teach. And one of the major selling points of the new versions, it's easier to read than the King James Version, but I stated a while ago, are they not translated in English? I have trouble pronouncing words, but if you can read English, can you not read the King James Version just as well as you can read one of these new revised versions? It don't make sense to me. But it seems many have readily accepted these versions, and no questions asked. You go into a store and you get looking for a King James Version anymore, and sometimes you have trouble finding one. Got these other versions there. Now, if people didn't buy them, they wouldn't be on the shelves. Those that promote these versions of the Bible, though, they fail to mention all the omissions and changes they made. No one seems to care or notice that they're undermining many basic Bible doctrines, but this is Satan's assault upon the Word of God. It began long ago as recorded in Genesis, and that assault continues even in our own generation. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, we're given a warning. It says, "Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." There's another warning found in Revelation 22:18-19. "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book, from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Amen. Many will say, "Well, God didn't mean what he said here." That's kind of what Satan told Eve. "Well, God didn't mean what he said here." But we need to take warning, because what God says, he means. He told Adam and Eve, "In the day that you eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, you shall die." And they did. They died spiritually. They lost that fellowship that they had with God. If you want to check out your Bible, you can go to Galatians 2:16. There's another verse, but in Philippians, but Galatians 2:16 says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified."
Amen.
All these revised versions say faith in Jesus Christ. It's just two-letter words, of and in. And it's true. We have faith in Jesus Christ. But where did that faith come from? Whose faith was it? Whose faith is it that saved us? It's His faith. The faith of Christ. It's His faith that's given to us so that we might believe. Not only is His faith given to us, we stand before God in His righteousness. We're given eternal life. See, all these things are from the Lord. We don't earn them. They're gifts. That other scripture I mentioned in Philippians 3:9, say the same thing, where they change the faith of Christ to faith in Christ. But these two scriptures here alone turned me off from the new versions.
Amen.
I used to work with a guy, and he had the New Living Version. And we had a lot of time, idle time at our jobs, that we sat and read our Bibles. And his reason, well, I can just understand this Bible a whole lot better than I can the King James Version. But at the time, I didn't completely understand why I didn't like the New Living Bible other than these two verses. Faith of Christ and faith in Christ. But now I have found out there's more reasons. There's more scriptures. I'd like to give you a list of verses that had been completely omitted from these new versions. I want to make some comments on a couple of these verses. Matthew 18:11, omitted. Mark 7:16, omitted. Mark 9:44, omitted. Mark 9:46, omitted. Mark 11:26, omitted. Mark 15:28, omitted. Luke 17:36, omitted. Luke 23:17, omitted. John 5:4, omitted. Acts 8:37, omitted. Acts 15:34, omitted. Acts 24:7, omitted. Acts 28:29, omitted. Romans 16:24, omitted. What does people do when they come reading along in their Bibles and they have Matthew 18:10, verse 11, there's nothing there, and then it goes to verse 12. I mean, what was there? And Matthew 18:11 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." That was omitted from these new versions. Know what this tells me? This tells me whom Jesus came to seek or to save, that which was lost. When was it lost? It was lost at the fall of Adam and Eve. Mark 17:16, omitted, says, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." This tells me that only those whom have ears to hear can hear. You see, not all men. I'm not talking about these ears. I'm talking about hearing within your heart.
Amen.
Not all men have ears to hear. They don't have faith. Tells us in God's word that all men have not faith. In Acts 8 and 37 was omitted, but I won't read this in the King James. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? The eunuch was sitting there reading from the book of Isaiah. The eunuch asked this question of himself or some other man. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Verse 37, this was omitted. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Verse 37 is left out of every one of these new versions I mentioned. In verse 37, I believe there's two basic Bible doctrines being taught here. I will mention three things. I believe it was probably intentionally left out because nobody wants to hear doctrine. But first, believer's baptism, and second, the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. First, believer's baptism, the proper candidate is a believer. One don't come up here and get baptized to be saved. They come up here desiring to be saved or be baptized because they're a believer. They want to follow the Lord in baptism. Second, here I think a question I believe should be asked all that come forth seeking to be baptized. The same question that Philip asked the eunuch. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. This was left out of God's holy word. This kind of lays the door open for infant baptism, does it not? Or anybody that comes forth. The third thing, the eunuch professed Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. In Matthew 1:25, I mentioned a lot of scriptures that have been left out, but there's a lot of scriptures that have been changed. Matthew 1:25, the word firstborn is left out of the verse. Instead of the verse reading her firstborn son, the NIV reads her son, undermining the biblical teaching, or biblical teaching of the virgin birth. See, if Jesus was not born of a virgin birth, conceived by the Holy Ghost, then he was just a mere man, and all our hopes are in vain. In Matthew 1:19-25 says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. And he's left out firstborn, just brought forth her son. Well, that could lay things open. Well, maybe this wasn't her firstborn son. This could put doubt in people's minds. In John 6:69, where the words are, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," this has been changed to, "You are the Holy One." Now, Jesus is the Holy One of God. That's true. But these words for a replacement, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," completely omits the fact that Jesus is a Christ and He's the Son of the living God. Colossians 1:14 reads, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." And this verse, "through His blood," has been left out. This tells us all how Jesus saved us, through His blood. His blood He offered on the mercy seat. Blood redemption has not only been left out of this portion of the new version, it's also being left out of much preaching and teaching and hymns in our generation. Hebrews 9:22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no redemption," or no remission. Amen. The deity of Jesus Christ can be found in 1 Timothy 3:16. Says, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of God. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." And where it says God was manifested or manifest in the flesh, it says in IV, He appeared in a body. What's wrong with that? My question is, who appeared in the body? Constantly leaves you dumbfuzzled there. And NIV don't answer that question. King James says God was manifested in the flesh. This tells us who was manifested in the flesh. Amen. But do we want a Bible that leaves us with questions? Or do we want a Bible that gives us answers? The impeccability of God is targeted in NIV. It says in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." The NIV has changed "cannot lie" to "does not lie." Well, that's true. God does not lie. But why does God not lie? It's because He cannot lie. The Holy God of truth cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And I want to tell you, I didn't come up with this on my own. I got most of it out of a pamphlet I get called The Grace Proclaimer and Proclamator. It's one that Bill Lee and some associates have, or Brother Bill Lee and some of the associates have started putting back out. I checked these scriptures out, though. Plus, there are many more that I've not mentioned. But these new versions, I believe, are undermining basic Bible doctrines or teaching of God's holy word. Amen. I believe God's elect should settle for nothing less than "thus saith the Lord." We should want to know the truth. Amen. Matthew 24 and verse 35, it says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Are you one of God's elect? If you believe Jesus is the Christ, you have eternal life. You've been redeemed by His blood. You're one of God's elect. You were chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians. It tells us in Ephesians 1:3-7, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as He has chosen us." Right there, us. Who's us? The believers. God's elect. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, or to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. What God saved you? What God saved me? For the praise of his glory.
Amen.
I didn't deserve it. See, it's God's elect, though. We want a Bible that has the words of life. You know, when the disciples started leaving him, Jesus turned to his disciples that remained. And you leave us also, where are we going to go? You know, has the words of life. We want a Bible with the whole truth. Or do we want a Bible that's misleading, undermining our basic Bible doctrines? I mentioned apple pie before, so I don't particularly care for just the crust. See, my Bible's got a cover on each side, but it's what's between them covers that's important. I want the Bible that's got all Scripture in it. I don't want the Bible that's had Scripture left out. No. I may not understand all Scripture, but I want it there. And as I read and study God's Word, if it pleases God's Holy Spirit to reveal things to me, then so be it.
Amen.
This is something that I got that pamphlet from Brother Bill Lee. And I knew I didn't particularly care for these new versions to start with. And when I went to reading and seeing the errors in them and the omissions and the undermining, that I felt like it was something that needed to be brought out to God's people, that we need to stay away from these things.
Amen.
I'll ask Stan and ask Brother Den or song leader to come and give them a couple of verses of invitation. And I want to thank you for your attention. And